The Gospel Net is the largest net in the world. God has invited all to come unto him. Black and white, bond and free, male and female. There's room for everyone. And yet, on the cross, Jesus did exactly that. He practiced what he had preached. He taught us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and even to pray for those who despitefully use us. I know from firsthand experience that forgiveness blesses both the forgiver and the forgiven. Now, how does overcoming the world bless our lives? The answer is clear. Entering into a covenant relationship with God binds us to him in a way that makes everything about life easier. My dear brothers and sisters, I bear witness that Jesus Christ directs the affairs of his church. I testify that following him is the only way to enduring happiness.
Aloha and welcome to LDS Real People Real Lives Podcast. This is Stephanie Colvin and I am your host. It's a beautiful day in Southern California, and with the sun shining, I feel the Lord's love, and I'm so grateful for the creation of this beautiful earth that he has given us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it reads, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Thanks for listening and for your continued support. And if you're new, welcome. Week's episode, I'm going to be talking about anger, which can be my best friend, and I am trying to unload that, especially after watching the most recent 30-day faith challenge of this lady who I believe her name is Amy. I may be wrong. I did a 30-day faith challenge on her anger issues, that she was quick to temper, and I think that's, of course, part of the prophecies in the latter days that anger would be rampant across the land, and we can see how that's happening everywhere we look. And I am no exception, that is for sure. So I did some research. What does the church say about anger, its place, and what can we do about it? But first, I wanted to share some testimonies and witness opportunities that I've had in the last week. Things have been, as usual, very challenging. And I'm realizing more and more that I need to train my mind to focus on the positive and what the Lord is providing for us. I think, though, that things are just so hard and continue to be that it's hard not to, at least for me, to just have that always on my mind. And so what I've been doing, and I think I mentioned this in the last episode, is I've been living for the day, seize the day, and making sure that I take care of the problems that are for today and not worry about the problems for tomorrow. And that has really helped me with my anger issues. But most importantly, in this last week, with the terrorist attacks coming from Hamas and what's going on in Israel and Palestine, I have had some wonderful experiences with a gentleman on social media who has been looking for Christ's light and lives in a country where it doesn't shine. And because of this experience, miracles have been wrought in my life. I have found strength and the opportunity to see the joy that Christ has given me by doing missionary work. And I am grateful for the blessings that come from the efforts that we give as we push forward in this life and give our works in righteousness. We continue to struggle financially, but we were able to pay tithing this month, and that was such a relief and joyful feeling to be able to give to the Lord who has given us so much. We are, in this last week, it's been very difficult between my husband and I as we continue to push through our challenges in our marriage with mental illness and stress, anxiety, financial issues, and we have seen how the Lord has been so tender with us and merciful. It's been very, very touching. Just even the ability that we've had to be able to work through this for the last so many years and stick together has been a miracle unto itself. And I am grateful for the blessings and miracles that God and Christ wrought in our lives. We have been very strapped financially and not being able to get through the month. And yet, every time I turn around, something comes through to help us get through our days. And I am so grateful for this tender, loving care that the Lord gives to each of us. And this truly is available to each of us. The faith that I have been able to share recently on social media has really been a testament to when we open our mouths, that the Spirit can confirm to us the truthfulness of what we speak, and then add upon that through teachings of eternal truths and help us to know how that applies to our lives. I love the gospel as found in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, His church, His kingdom here on earth. And I am grateful for the doctrines and teachings that come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through His servants, our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, our apostles, and even more, state presidency, the 70s, teachers, bishops. There's so many ministering angels that I am just humbled by the amount of care that Christ, who is a king and of royalty, who is God and omniscient, gives to us here on earth, and grateful for His love. I have to apologize for not publishing in October. I used to be a weekly podcast, but due to my schedule and the conflicts that I had, I moved that to a monthly podcast in October. It just got away from me, so I apologize. But it's not that I didn't try. I actually recorded the episode twice. However, as I re-listened to it and edited it, it just did not feel right, and I kept getting the impression that I needed to redo this. The interesting thing about it was that I learned a lot about myself and what to share and what not to share. So I'm going to be talking about, in this particular episode, my best friend at times, anger. Very much compelled by the recent 30-day faith challenge that I had posted about a few weeks ago, actually, regarding a Latter-day Saint that did a 30-day faith challenge on anger and how she worked on that every day. Stop, drop, and pray was her motto, and taking a couple of deep breaths, maybe sometimes even counting to 10. But I wanted to impart in hopes that I can help whoever is listening at this time, that you might find the answers or the encouragement in a particular direction through the Spirit of God that you need, and also know that you are not alone. And so we're going to be using the gospel to reconcile this anger issues that we deal with, especially in the latter days, and how we can overcome it and even give grace in return, that loving kindness. So I think that anybody who has had a rough childhood, and believe you me, we've all had challenges in our childhood. I think as I get older, I'm realizing more and more that our childhood experiences, both good and bad, are there to teach us how to apply the atonement to our lives, to ourselves, to the people that were involved, and to be able to forgive and give forgiveness, to be understanding, and then maybe apply boundaries if they're needed. Only you can decide where that needs to fall, because forgiveness does not mean that we have to come back into a relationship that is just simply not good for us. However, I do think that more often than not, going possibly no contact is not always the answer. How do we become like Christ if we're avoiding the hard oppositional trials in our lives? And believe you me, they're hard. I have one relationship in particular in my life that is a constant challenge. And because I continue to look to Christ for answers, as my ultimate exemplar in how to handle contention and feelings of frustration and honestly hurt feelings. He's been able to help me navigate this in a way that so far everything is okay. And I just always put it into his hands. I pray for this. I fast for this. Please help me with this relationship because it's so important to me and such a huge part of my life. And no, I'm not talking about my husband. This person challenges me on so many different levels. And it always brings me back to some great advice that my brother gave, which is that we need to learn to love the people that are even hard to love. It's easier to just give up and say, you know what, I've tried. I've tried one time, two times, three times. I've tried 100 times. I am done. But is that what the Lord wants us to do? Is that what the gospel teaches? And this is why having the companionship of the Holy Ghost is so important. Being able to feel the impressions that come from the Spirit of God that is our great comforter. And that is the promise, is that we will have this comfort and guidance and protection in these latter days. And President Nelson is constantly reminding us of this and that we need to do the best that we can to exercise this ability and apply it daily. And I think with anyone's upbringing that has had challenges and traumas in their childhood, as an adult, we manifest that in so many different ways. Okay. And for me, it has been anger. Anger has truly been my best friend. It's been a solution for many problems in my life because it's enabled me to have a backbone, to have strength, to put my foot down and not allow people to walk on me, to do things that I wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to do. I mean, having kids at 19 and 21, 20 and 22, and trying to navigate a divorce shortly thereafter and, you know, deal with these choices that I was making and then choices that other people were making that were affecting me. It was my anger that got me through these times. When I was growing up and I was going through some extreme abuse in the household, and this was not my parents necessarily, and I'm not going to identify anybody in particular, but because of these abuse issues and experience that I had, they were very traumatic. And how did I handle that? I handled that by becoming tough. See, I was raised in a home where my dad is a Marine, and I had all brothers. We were latchkey kids. When the parents went to work and we came home from school, the oldest was in charge. That is not a great structure for supervision. Okay, it just is not. It gives this person power that loves to have the power, that doesn't know how to manage that power. And we really suffered in the house because of it. I don't have any good memories, honestly, of hanging out with my older brothers because they just traumatized me. They would play jokes and pranks and they would just scare the living crud out of me. They were 6 and 8 years older than I am, and it was a lot. But add on top of that, the trigger warning, the sexual abuse, the mental abuse, emotional and sometimes physical abuse that was going on in the house. This is the person that I became. And then other areas of my life as I got older added to that, such as going to a school where I was one of very few white-skinned looking kids in that school. And that created a lot of opportunity to be bullied and picked on, to be singled out because I don't speak Spanish, because I'm not Mexican. There was a whole host of reasons why they wanted to pick on me. And, you know, back in my day, when I went to elementary school and junior high in the 70s and 80s and then finished high school, graduated in 1990, this is what we did. We handled it. If you couldn't do it with your mouth, which I could not, you did it with your physical self. And that protected me a lot of times. It got me out of a lot of situations. And it also told these people that I'm not somebody to be messed with. But what kind of adult comes out of these experiences? All right. What kind of adult was I becoming? I look back. I recently had a birthday. I turned 51 years old. And I look back on the decades that I spent angry. Through my 20s, through my 30s, through my 40s. I mean, just consumed with anger, more so in my 20s and 30s. You know, my 40s, I had come back to church. I'd been back in the gospel of Jesus Christ for over 10 years. And I was navigating, as I was growing closer to the Lord, the uck and muck and these things that I had acquired and adopted to deal with my life. And that is going to continue to be a lifelong challenge for me. So anger has been my best friend, and I'm looking to unload that best friend and never see that person again. So I did my own faith challenge with anger, and I'm going to tell you the experiences that I had, kind of the outcome and what I learned. It wasn't perfect, but these encouragements that we get that come out from the church and our leaders, our apostles and prophets, from the church website, please consider them. And not just consider them, but do them, because they truly bless your life. I started my 30-day faith challenge on anger at the beginning of October. And the first week, it was something that I had to go out of my way to catch myself and truly stick to that motto, stop, drop, and pray. Sometimes I wasn't able to drop and pray, but I certainly stopped and prayed, considered, took a breather, counted to 10, whatever it took to calm my thoughts, to slow down the adrenaline, to calm my heart, my feelings and emotions, and to be reasonable, to look to the Spirit to guide me, to not jump to conclusions and assumptions and treat that person accordingly. Oftentimes that can be so negative and contrary and not a good experience. Never really leaves any type of feel good feelings after that. And so the first week was really tough. The second week, it got easier, and I started to notice the peace that was coming from this becoming a routine. And I was so joyful. I loved it. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, this exhausting companion of anger and frustration that has been with me for so long, I now kind of have this on quarantine, right? And I was excited, and I was more happy. I was able to give more leeway to the people that I encountered in my day, especially on the road. Here in California, we've got a lot of traffic, and we deal with a lot of people on the road, different driving, you know, styles and skills. And I know I'm one of them, but I have a hard time giving people grace on the road. And I was able to do that. And it was so nice because my driving experiences were becoming a lot more enjoyable and peaceful. And I couldn't help but express that gratitude to the Lord and just thank you. Thank you for the church newsroom putting these 30-day faith challenges on the website. Thank you for allowing the Spirit to guide me to these 30-day faith challenge videos that I can do this and apply it to my life. And then the third week came, and there was a whole lot of stuff going down that week, and especially in my personal relationship with my husband. And the first few days, I was able to really, you know, stop, drop, and pray, take a couple of deep breaths, and do all the things that I had been working so hard on the first 2 weeks. But by Thursday, I was done. And I felt all of this pent-up frustration and anger, and just, I don't understand why things continually have to be so hard. And so I did what I call hitting the release button on the steam. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't enjoyable for anybody around me. And I suffered. You know how long it takes to recover after giving in to an anger episode for even 2, 3, 5 minutes? It takes hours, if not days, to recover. And it's such a sad waste of time. I think there's some really good, pertinent learning lessons that happened during this time, but mostly just a sad waste of time. And that's just my opinion. It took forever, and I really missed the peace and the energy that came from the Spirit helping me to be in control of my emotions and my passions. And yet I gave in to what we like to call the natural man. I gave in to my natural self, and it wasn't fun. And it really was highlighted. There was a huge spotlight put on that because of these 2 weeks of just bliss and learning so much by doing this 30-day faith challenge. And I really suffered, as well as the person that was on the receiving end. And in that particular situation, it was my husband. Things can be super hard in our relationship. If you've been a longtime listener, you know that we deal with extreme mental illness in our home. And sometimes when the mental illness is in charge, our house can feel like I'm literally in a loony bin. And that just drives me crazy. I can't stand it because I need my house to be the refuge from the world. We all do. Not just me, my husband, my son, my grandson when he's here, anybody who comes into this home. I want it to be like my parents' house. When I roll into my parents' house, I open that door. It's an immediate feeling of love and peace, and it's all-encompassing and joy to be together. And that's how I want my home to be. So that was a very difficult week, end of the week, for us to really address and overcome. I'm grateful that we have great insurance, that we have a wonderful therapist that we can go to that can help mediate. I mean, we're both speaking English, but sometimes I think he's speaking Mandarin and I'm speaking Spanish because we're just not understanding each other. And so that's been a tremendous blessing. And I really encourage you to access the resources that you can, that God has given us here on earth, to help us along as we navigate this world and the things that are going on in these latter days. So what do our leaders say about anger? What has Christ said about anger? What do the scriptures say? And this is what I found. President Gordon B. Hinckley teaches that temper is a vicious and corrosive thing that destroys affection and casts out love. Moroni chapter 9 verse 3 says, "And now behold, my son, I fear lest the Lamanites shall destroy this people, for they do not repent, and Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. Contention always comes from the great opposer, never Heavenly Father." Heavenly Father never puts his stamp of approval on being mad and angry and expressing that, letting that flow. Because what I've seen is it's an unrighteous kind of dominion over the people around you. It's a controlling tactic oftentimes. And this is unrighteous. In 3 Nephi chapter 11 verse 29, it says, "For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another." So the scriptures are clear where anger comes from. And there are often times that I feel like I cannot control my anger, but what they are teaching us is that it truly is a choice. And how often do you feel like that's not a choice? How often have you said, "They made me angry," or "They made me do this," or I felt this way because they did this or they did that. And what the gospel is teaching us is that no matter what's going on around us, no matter our circumstances, we are still in control. We still control and choose to engage in these feelings and in this behavior. Elder Lynn G. Robbins of the 70 described anger as the thought sin that leads to hostile feelings or behavior. It is the detonator of road rage on the freeway, flare-ups in the sports arena, and domestic violence in homes. President Gordon B. Hinckley warns of the tragic consequences of anger, asking, "Who can calculate the wounds inflicted, their depth and pain, by harsh and mean words spoken in anger?" I mean, I had this growing up in our own home. My parents did the best they could. They really did, okay? I'm not judging them. I'm not against them. I love my mom and dad. But we dealt with a lot of anger in the house. And now as an adult, I pass that on to my children because I had them so young. I was so young, dumb, and stupid. I wasn't in the gospel, and I was not even really able to figure out my own emotions and anger with the things that were going on in my life. And now I've got two boys who are dealing with their own anger problems, and I feel so guilty about that. There's so many regrets. I was not the best example. As a matter of fact, I was very extreme in my behavior throughout my 20s. And I'm grateful for those in my life that have forgiven me and have allowed our relationship to move on. Anger has been described as the most seductive of the negative emotions. It's an adrenaline pumper. My kids, my brothers, my family, we talk about how when we're angry, it feels good. And you know what that is? It's the chemical response that's going on in your body. It's that adrenaline rush. It just feels good. And yet, it's such a fleeting, destructive, toxic thing because there's nothing good that comes from it. Anger is inappropriately handled in three ways, usually through aggression, internalization, and passive-aggressive behavior. Internalization is going to be anger that's directed at yourself, leading to self-denigration, depression, or self-damaging acts. This is definitely something that I've done my entire life, and I've developed many vices to address it, such as drinking, drug use, contemplation of suicide. I never self-mutilated because I do not like pain, but I did do some other things that I will not share on here, but it was very much self-harm. Passive-aggressive behavior. Anger is expressed in indirect actions, such as dishonesty, being irritable, snarky, sarcastic, criticizing, being stubborn with that person, and being irresponsible with the relationship. Very, very toxic. And then there's aggression. Aggression is what I had seen most of my life, and not just from my family, from friends, from boyfriends. Husband's aggression was always the number one way to vent the anger. And that anger was expressed through physical violence, emotional and verbal abuse, name calling, swearing, threatening, blaming, ridiculing, manipulating. And when I was younger, sexual abuse, control and domination. I mean, anger has no place in these scriptures and the counsel that comes out from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, and their servants. We need to hearken, awaken our faculties, and understand how toxic and destructive this is, especially to what's supposed to be the most glorious unit and blessing from our Heavenly Father, the family unit. Mother, father, children. The costs of anger are great. It's the loss of spirit. There's also a loss of respect that comes, and I've experienced this with my own relationships. A loss of friendship and cooperation, a loss of self-confidence. There's definitely guilt and loneliness that follows up with that. Strained relationships are no fun. It's damaging to yourself and to the others that it affects, and especially to children. I mean, we're finding out more and more how the demonstration of anger, in whatever form it comes in, the way it affects children's minds, the chemistry, and the way the patterns of behavior and the way that they operate and function, it is absolutely a virus to them. So, how do we overcome anger? What does the gospel say? There is actually a section in a book that talks about this. And this, again, is why I love the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The organization of His kingdom, the resources that we're given, because He knows exactly what we're dealing with. And anger, having a prevalence of anger in the latter days, was one of the prophecies. So how can we overcome anger? We can pray. We can resolve underlying problems. We can take responsibility for the anger. There's even an anger cycle that needs to be identified that we can take that accountability. And we will discuss that a little bit. And some ways that we can address it and overcome it for ourselves and for those that we love. So praying with real intent for help in overcoming angry feelings. I truly believe in the power of prayer. The psalmist taught the Lord will deliver the prayerful from the storms of life. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Fasting and priesthood blessings are also very helpful in overcoming anger feelings. And this is something that I've actually personally done. I've got a wonderful brother who we consider to be like family that lives 7 houses away from us. And we go to him often for priesthood blessings, but also support. And then we fast to overcome anger and the challenges that we're dealing with. So the power of prayer definitely is a great way to invite miracles into our lives to overcome contention. We can do another thing, the second thing, which is resolve underlying problems. You know, talk it out and work out the problems with the person that you're angry with. Most problems can be resolved peacefully once it's talked out in a calm fashion after everybody has settled down. Okay, we've got to learn how to communicate with love and to solve conflict in a peaceful way. We should talk with each other with respect and care, kind of like that grace that we look for from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that loving kindness. So we have pray, resolve underlying problems, and the third thing that we can do to overcome anger is to take responsibility for it. Those who have an anger problem must acknowledge that they have a problem and take responsibility for it before they can overcome it. And this is like any challenge that we deal with it. We have to stand up to the accountability of the choices that we make. We are sometimes easily provoked. It is the nature of this experience on earth. But that does not mean that we have to choose to engage and be angry, which will eventually lead to something worse. We can respond in better ways. Some people excuse their anger, claiming it as part of their cultural heritage. For example, some parents physically assault their children, justifying themselves because the behavior is widely practiced in their ethnic group. I've actually seen this happen in my own world. But such actions are not acceptable to Heavenly Father, and he's emphatic about this. And Elder Richard G. Scott, who was an apostle, teaches that the membership in the family of God takes precedence over cultural identity. And this is what he says. Your Heavenly Father assigned you to be born into a specific lineage from which you received your inheritance of race, culture, and traditions. That lineage can provide a rich heritage of great reasons to rejoice. Yet you have the responsibility to determine if there is any part of that heritage that must be discarded because it works against the Lord's plan of happiness. No family can long endure under fear or force. That leads to contention and rebellion, and love is the foundation of a happy family. Hear, hear. I totally agree, and I'm grateful for the wisdom that Elder Scott shares. So we've discussed 3 ways to overcome anger. Pray, resolve underlying problems, and take responsibility for your anger. But did you guys know that there is an anger cycle? There truly is, and we can identify that anger cycle. And it starts off with pretending to be normal phase. There's a buildup phase, an acting out phase, and a downward spiral phase. So we're going to cover that just very briefly. The pretends to be normal phase is life runs smoothly, but anger lurks beneath the surface, affecting the way the person lives and thinks. Events or situations readily trigger habitual distorted patterns of thinking, and the person rationalizes and justifies these distortions. This is something that I pretty much, this describes me, pretends to be normal phase. The anger is just simmering underneath that first layer, and anything, I mean, it's just a hair trigger. And it's an absolute miserable, exhausting place to be. The second thing on the anger cycle is a buildup phase. As the person focuses on the distorted thinking, he or she begins to feel threatened or endangered and begins to react angrily. So the person's thoughts replay familiar themes such as she doesn't care what I say, or I do all the work around here and they never help out. There are physical cues that can indicate the person's becoming angry, such as a red face, stiffness, tightness, rapid breathing, maybe a pounding heart, or an upset stomach. The person fantasizes and plans for acting out the anger and may engage in addictive behavior that feeds the anger. And that addictive behavior is going to be things like drugs, alcohol, maybe even overeating, overworking. And I know people who overwork out to address these issues in their lives. So we've got the pretends to be normal phase, the buildup phase. Now we've got the acting out phase where the anger is vented on others through yelling at them, demeaning them, and maybe even physically or sexually or emotionally assaulting them. It may be turned inward through self-denigration, suicide attempts, or alcohol or drug abuse. I keep seeing this alcohol or drug abuse as a common denominator to dealing with anger problems. So we see that it is a path to just self-destruction. So the fourth part of the anger cycle after the acting out phase is the downward spiral phase. The person feels guilt and shame. And I have been here where it has just absolutely eaten me up. Then defenses emerge and it's never good. The person tries to cover the anger by doing something generically good to prove that he or she is a good person. And this person then resolves to control his or her temper. And as the resolve breaks down, the person cycles back to the pretends to be normal phase. I mean, this describes my family, unfortunately, to a T. And maybe you're seeing yourself in this and people that you know as well. But there is hope. And that is the ways to overcome anger that we discussed earlier. There are ways to diffuse anger-provoking thoughts. If you're someone that deals with extreme anger, it might be a mental issue. It might be an offshoot, a symptom of a mental issue that you're dealing with, like bipolar, anxiety, schizophrenia. There's a lot of things that we deal with that have been identified in these latter days, and anger can be a symptom of that. So we need to do our best to diffuse anger-provoking thoughts. And how we do that is we look for alternate explanations for the behavior about which they get angry. So for an example, let's say someone is rude and you've had a difficult day at work. Okay. You feel accepted by your peers who engage in that behavior. You know, you go, you vent to them, and they're supporting you and they're saying, you know what? I totally get why you feel that way. And I would be angry too. Right. I've had this happen. I'm sure you've had this happen. How often does that make the situation worse? And it always brings me back to the teaching that we are not to be false witnesses. So when we are murmuring and we're complaining and we're venting and we're just, I gotta get this off my chest, is what we're saying about the other person true? Or are we embellishing because we're angry? Right? Are we maybe, it's like that game of telephone. Every time we retell this story and we've talked to 3, 4, 5 people, is the story getting more and more, is it more of a departure from the truth? We've got to be very careful about how we can create alternate storylines based off of some truth and fact that has happened in our lives. We really need to ask ourselves when we are challenged in these ways and we're starting to feel frustrated or contentious, what do I want to get out of this interaction? How do I want this to roll out? Remembering that you don't control other people, you only control yourself, okay? But there is a price that is paid when you choose to get angry. Are you willing to pay that price? Do you want to pay that price? How is that going to look? How is that going to affect you? How is that going to affect the people that look to you to be an example of the believers? We can reason out and justify our anger and our frustrations because it's just the nature of who we are as human beings. But we need to do better. And that is what the Lord is asking us to do, is to live a higher and holier way. And we can do that by getting ourselves out of a situation that is just bad for us. And this is something that I've learned to do. Normally, I would never leave the house because I feel like it's my house. And, you know, I kind of nest here. I take care of it. If you got a problem, you can adios, right? See, you hear my little contentious side. But I've recognized that through therapy and, of course, maturation and getting older and being in relationships, that when things get out of hand, I can control myself and do myself what needs to be done and not look to other people to fix how I feel. It would be great if they would just immediately back off and say, you know what, I can see you're getting worked up or you're feeling a certain kind of way about this, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But there's a lot of people that just do not communicate this way. And so how can you get yourself out of that situation so that you're not losing control? Making sure that you leave. Sometimes you just got to leave the situation. You have to depart from the home. If it's a school situation, a work situation, even at church, just remove yourself from that circumstance. Walk away and let it go. And I've actually done this several times. I've even done it with some people in church and my relationships with them there. And it has always been, without fail, a blessing to me. You need to identify ways that you can calm yourself. There's some activities that you can do that will really help. And this is stuff that I've started to incorporate. A lot of it I've already been doing because I work out pretty regularly anyways. But there's some things that we can be very proactive about to help us to manage and to really just get control of these emotions that can get so out of control. And some of those calming activities are meditating, working out, jogging, swimming, listening to music really does it for me, especially with hymns, reading a book. Lately, I have been coloring. I got myself a pen for my iPad and I downloaded several different apps. And when I start to feel like I'm overwhelmed, stressed out, if I'm starting to feel frustrated, angry, or if my feelings have been hurt, I get on my iPad, I open up one of those coloring apps and I get the pen out and I just start coloring. And while I do that, I notice because I'm using my hands and I'm getting tactile, those feelings of frustration and anger that I had just are gone. And I'm starting to feel very much succored by the activity and comforted as I'm creating and tapping into that portion of my brain. It is so soothing. President Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles suggested that undesirable thoughts be replaced with sacred music. I'm a huge fan of this, and this is what he says. As the music begins and as the words form in your thoughts, the unworthy thoughts will slip shamefully away. It will change the whole mood on the stage of your mind because the music is uplifting and clean. The baser thoughts will disappear. Thank you, President Packer. I so much appreciate those wise, loving words. We should also share underlying feelings because anger is often expressed in places of feelings of hurt and fear, embarrassment, or rejection. I know that I often don't feel considered by the people around me, and that can really hurt my feelings. I'm soft that way. And if I was to always allow that to lead my relationships and how we get along, I wouldn't have any relationships. Some individuals hesitate to share these feelings, fearing they will show weakness and or vulnerability. It says when individuals calmly share underlying feelings, hence calmly, they begin to talk about the things that really bother them, not just their animosity. So when the real issues are discussed in a calming environment, conflicts are more readily resolved. And I remind myself of this all the time, especially because I've always lived with a bunch of guys who are not very clean. They all have beards. There's hair everywhere. And it's just a constant thing. And it just irritates me sometimes. And if I'm going into the restroom and I see the hair, that's not the time to come out and say, hey, I'm sick and tired of the hair. Why can't you pick up every last hair off the counter and get rid of it? Why do I always have to do that? You know what I mean? It never works out well, and it's not received well either, because adults don't like to be talked to like that. They don't like to be talked down to. And so I remind myself, you know what? I'm going to remember this. I'm going to address it later when I'm calm, cool, and collected, and do it in a way that's encouraging. And that has worked for me, especially lately with my adult son who is residing with us. It does take great courage to be honest than to be angry. When we share underlying feelings, people can get defensive. And it's just, especially in relationships between family members, because there's such a closeness there. and oftentimes such a deep love. And so we want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that is respectful, honest, open, and that we can identify and express feelings connected to the anger so that we can put it to rest. And the other person needs to take kind of have some skin in the game by giving back through a willingness to discuss, a willingness to forgive, a willingness to work on the relationship and to give back in a way that will bless the relationship. Seek spiritual change. This is an ongoing, forever, enduring, lifelong goal, is to become more like Christ. Because as the Apostle Paul said, the peace of God passeth all understanding. And we can have the peace that Christ offers us. Please do not forget or underestimate the powerful influence of the Holy Ghost. As you seek help from the Lord with your anger issues, your frustrations, and contentious ways, the Holy Ghost will comfort, support, and direct you in managing and overcoming your angry feelings. And this is assured. And we're told this in numerous scriptures that we're constantly tended to by the Holy Ghost. Even in times of anger and contention, he will come to you at some point, usually after you've calmed down, and help you through this, as long as you open that door through prayer. And I want to leave this with you. It's DNC section 8, verses 2 and 3. Yea, behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart. Now behold, this is the spirit of revelation. Behold, this is the spirit by which Moses brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground. And this is the spirit that we can have to guide us through even our most difficult challenges when we really struggle with being angry, upset, hurt, frustrated, and want to act out. And I'll leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot going on in the world, people. We are in the latter days and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people that are not seeing eye to eye, and there's a lot of contention in the world. And recently saw an interview from one of the parents of one of the sons who was murdered in the mass shooting in Maine. I believe that happened, last week or last couple weeks of October. And when he was interviewed by the reporter, they asked him how he felt about the person that killed his son. And he took a moment and his eyes welled up with tears. And he said this, and it was very simple. He said, we need to have more kindness in the world, that hate needs to go away. There's too much hate. And that he does not hate the person that took his son away from him, and that he wants to extend kindness and love to him, and that he hopes that his life will work out in whatever way it needs to be to improve, to be better, to do better, to learn, and to be pushed in the way of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be forgiven through the atonement. And it was such a powerful testimony that he had shared on national television when they were expecting him to rail and go into the shooter with just venom and hate, as I would have if anybody had done that to my son. I cannot say that I would have been this person, and I really admire him. And we need to give more loving kindness out in the world and squash the fire of hate if we truly want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling myself this too. You guys, thank you so much for always being so supportive and reaching out. I appreciate your messages of support and love and checking on me. There are so many of you that have become very good friends through the podcast, and I'm grateful for the blessing that you are in my life, and I hope that I'm a blessing to your life. Until next time, stay safe, healthy, and most importantly, stay faithful. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Until next time, much love, aloha, and God bless.